Yes.
I went to Keys Island 2 years ago, and summers ago, and participated in a Mosqueda ceremony. And
he didn't tell me that he didn't get any reaction.
No.
Nope. Mushroom. Well, where he's taken as many as, what did you say, 30 at a time and didn't get any reaction?
Yes, the problem
and he
was.
He came out and expected me to give him one.
The problem was that as Gordon has written and other people have written, that you don't always get an effect with Amanita muscaria. And that's always puzzled the devil out of me. The Siberian sources say precisely what happened. We know of people here in the Northwest, Jonathan Ott and others, who have gotten effect. And I've eaten mushrooms from several states in the United States, that is Amanita muscaria from several states, from several countries, and in quantities, as Key says, up to 40, and never had anything that would in any way be like the experiences that the Siberians wrote about, or the people who observed the Siberians wrote about. What I did get was an explosive vomiting called projectile vomiting. And what I did get was a sensitization because of that. Not that the mushroom tastes bad. When it's dried, it tastes very bread-like and yeasty and fairly pleasant, but I associated the vomiting with the smell and taste. At one time, I've just done about everything. There's a paper written by Cadel Fomo and Oyster, American and Swiss chemist, that suggested that the chemicals exist in the colored flesh just beneath the so-called cuticle of the cap, the pileus. So I did things like strip off the cap, localize it, to strengthen it. I'd taken it with wood ash, shell lime, short chain fatty acids. all the sort of, you know, this is abuse of my body, all the sorts of things that there's a reason for short chain fatty acids, by the way, because they're in milk products. And if you think that you mixed it with milk like the Indians of the Rig Veda did, then there might be something in it, something which sets it off. Shell lime, of course, is used with various narcotics to potentiate its effect, to start it off. Same things are true of wood ash, coca leaves, betel nut, all those sorts of things. Nothing. And by the way, I was always in very nice settings, very comfortable. Especially in the first couple of times I took it, my set, that is my view of the situation was favorable and encouraging. Of course, I was a neophyte. I couldn't have anything but a hopeful attitude. But it wasn't until I went to the island and participated in the ceremony that I got any sort of an effect at all. I went through what seems to be the most complete Algonquian ceremony that anybody has ever set up, including 48 hours of fasting, lugging stones from littered beaches to the place where they would be used in a sweat lodge, which I had built with the help of he and yes, the otter, a man who was there to help out. And went through the sweat for hours. I took a purgative, which he prepared for me, and it also, which is very strange, had no effect on me whatsoever. It contained things like burdock, impatience. I have them written down.
Calamus?
Yeah, that's a key one. Acarus calamus. That occasioned somewhat of a ritual problem because we didn't know what to do if I couldn't cleanse myself and I was potentially very impure. But we solved the problem by attacking it from the rear, and I... you've guessed, I took an enema. Which is also part of the process, standard part of the process. And
we couldn't find the right herb for that.
Yes, but we managed to make it work. And I sat in the, laid in the sweat lodge. Did I use that? Gordon's always getting at me about my use of lie, lay, and so forth. I lay me down in the sweat lodge. For the better part of an afternoon, 3-4 hours, while Key and this fellow sang songs of encouragement to me, and it had to be encouraging, it was very strenuous, rigorous.
But we carried the water, he carried the sweat lodge.
And it was about 8 o'clock at night when I was finally summoned from the sweat. The smoke, the wind had turned from the north and was driving the smoke right up from the beach into the sweat lodge, and I was in terrible shape. My eyes were burning and so forth. Then I plunged. The next step in the process was to plunge into the waters of Lake Michigan, and it was cold. So I had undergone a lot of systemic shocks, I was dehydrated, I had been forbidden anything but neutral things to take in. There's a tea which Key prepared for me every once in a while. That is neutral in the sense that it wouldn't affect me spiritually one way or the other, but I think it's also true that it didn't affect me physically one way or the other. Then we went back to the clearing from the beach, and he had prepared dried blueberry juice, dried blueberries reflated with water, about a pint and a half. And in it were two whole mushrooms, rather small ones. I was not expecting very much at all, especially considering my past history. Of course, this is all done with the appropriate ritual procedure, some of which you heard today. There are other things as well. About 45 minutes later, I started to taste a flat metallic taste in my mouth. Started to feel a tightening and the clenching of the jaws. And I knew I was off. About 15 or 20 minutes after it first came on, and it came on rather quickly, I must have had a very high instantaneous dosage, even though the number of mushrooms were small. It was a true euphoric condition. I didn't vomit this time at all. I had a cast iron stomach that day. The euphoric state lasted for about 3 hours, and it was equivalent to, later on when I was asked what was comparable to, it was equivalent to, I weigh about 145 pounds, and it was equivalent to a dosage of about 10 milligrams of psilocybin, or maybe 100 mics of LSD. 30 milligrams of psilocybin really do a job on me, and 200 or 250 micrograms of LSD affect me about the same way. So it was in that range. It wasn't, my senses were impaired. It was interpretive functions which were impaired. I couldn't make out what was.
Yeah. I think they were.
Yeah, they sure were. No, I couldn't talk very well. And nor can I now, for that matter. There, we're seated around a campfire, and I was being, again, helped along by Key and Otter, and I would see the flickering lights on a woodpile, and there are herds of snakes that live on that island, and there are herds of them that live in Key's woodpile. So I thought that you sit around the campfire, and they're just very tame, and they just sort of go, you know, crawl across your feet and sort of curl up where it's warm. And so I thought that's what I was seeing, but what I was, after I had thought about it for a great period of time, it was just Otter's hands hitting the drum as he was singing and drumming. At about that time, a fairly startling thing happened, and we got caught in the Perseid meteor shower. And the effect that had on me in the condition that I was in, it was just outstanding. All of a sudden, these 10, 20, 50, 100 meteors, red gold rain, streaked across the sky. And I just could do nothing but gasp. I grabbed onto Otter, asked him what he was doing and what was happening. And he very calmly explained it, and I accepted it. And I just sat there for about the next hour, until 1 o'clock that night, until the meteor shower subsided, and till I finally came down. I started to get a throbbing on the right side of my head, about in the center about that time. Very strong throbbing. I didn't feel it, I didn't perceive it as pain, but it was very distracting. My senses were very, very heightened, and I was very edgy. Even after I went to sleep, or tried to go to sleep, I was in a sleeping bag in a tent, and my eyelashes scraping together kept me awake.
Can you imagine what a whippoorwill would do?
And that's about the size of the physical effects on me. I think a lot of things happen. Acarus calenus is suspected to be a psychotropic agent when ingested in large quantities, and it could have had a potentiating effect on me.
Large quantities? Even a half a reason.
Well, I know. I don't know what it takes to potentiate something. About yay big, right? Yeah, something like that. It was to be clean, to be empty, to approach the subject with seriousness. All the preparation, the physical preparation, is part of that. The songs you heard today were part of that. We did very, very many other things which were to call upon various manidos. When we cleared the site of the sweat lodge, we had to take up 5 different sorts of herbs, and he planted holy tobacco where that happened. We wove the herbs into the walls of the sweat lodge. We found 2 loon feathers there, 2 double-spotted loon feathers, which are a good omen. Hung those in the sweat lodge. Key gave me what she calls a memory gem. It was a painted rock with... Yeah, I have a slide of that. Could we turn the projector on? The object of this was to focus my thoughts on this, and to be comforted by it. There's the stone. It's a limestone from the beach. That's in the Anishinaabeg, and Key wrote for me, since I'm not at all proficient in the language, on the on the reverse what it means. And it says, stars are always shining brightly, they're the stars, if I resolve to look with hope. Now I'll tell you, when I had that in my mind and those stars came down, it was sort of impressive. Another thing which was impressive was that while I was in the sweat is not just a sauna or a sweat bath. It's not for, the sweat is in North America and people of Native American groups don't take sweats lightly. Well, while I was in there, I heard this commotion outside, and I saw that part of the tent, part of the sweat lodge was covered with transparent plastic. We tried to seal it up so that the sweat wouldn't, or the steam wouldn't escape. And I saw this shape, big shape, light on a cedar tree. Tell them what it was.
A flight of birds in the nighttime. Because by this time, twilight had fallen, and he was singing. And this great, huge thunderbird came down and sat, not as they usually sit, but on the top of it, like a Christmas tree ornament.
What species do you think it was?
I think it was a hawk.
I know, but you and Lee said that it was either red-shinned or great-shouldered.
Yeah.
And there are two people singing around a campfire, around a fire, not a campfire, a fire. There's a lodge there, they're drumming, billows of steam come, and a hawk comes down out of the sky in the dark. Maybe he saw it as a beacon, I don't know. Tell them what happened at one of the powwows when thunderbirds were circling. Yeah, exactly.
Hmm?
Remember that when there's a powwow?
Yeah, well, that particular powwow, when the thunderbirds really came down, it stopped.
There's no reason to hold the powwow any longer. And that's the impression that thunderbirds have on.
Yes, well, one is not to use it for his own gain in any way, material or spiritual. One should not seek for his own sort of spiritual glorification, or is to amplify his reputation as a shaman or anything that nature.
Thank you very much.